Yes, as always, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm recording this on Friday, November 13th, which is a Friday the 13th. And for me personally, I love Friday the 13th. I've always been very lucky for me. But since this is Friday the 13th, that means this coming Tuesday the 17th will conclude our 10-week weight loss diet. Except that I've decided to add an extra week extension just to give you an extra 7 days of dieting pleasure before Thanksgiving, which of course starts the holiday season up in full swing. And I will insert once again that should you not have been a part of the 10-week weight loss diet, which I guess is actually the 11-week weight loss diet now, you can at any point that you're hearing this podcast, go back to podcast number 71 and follow along, and you can lose weight in any 10-week or 11-week period throughout the year. But I want to commend so many of you around the world that have tried, really tried, and had some wonderful success with this weight loss diet. It says a lot about you that you were able to work through a weight loss diet prior to the start of the holiday season, because most people would not even attempt to do such a thing, and therefore, I think it really shows your commitment to improving your life and living a healthier lifestyle long term. So by adding this extra week, that will take us to Tuesday, November 24th, when this particular diet will end. Now, as most of you know who have been doing this diet, because I've talked about it, the biggest challenges are still ahead. Because maintaining the weight loss is always the most difficult part of trying to get control of your body fat. And now, to have this extra challenge just before the start of the festive holiday season, which ultimately ends up meaning holiday dinners and gatherings and parties with delectable food and glasses filled with holiday cheer, or multiple glasses filled with holiday cheer, it makes an even greater strain on your abilities to have self-control. But for those of you who took the time and effort to lose weight during this pre-holiday season, I have every belief in you that you'll be able to maintain your weight loss throughout the holiday season leading up to the first of 2016. We will talk more about the maintenance aspect of dieting, as well as some hints and suggestions to get you through the holiday season so you won't gain any weight back, or even might lose a couple more pounds during the holiday season. Wouldn't that be incredible? We'll talk more. Meanwhile, just when you're proud of yourself that you're moving into a healthier lifestyle that can help slow down the aging process, stave off disease, give you energy and longevity, comes the bizarre, truly bizarre concept of too much of a good thing? Maybe. My name is Joey Hernandez, and this is Can You Eat Too Healthy? Episode number 80 of the Life After 30 podcast. Man, oh man, the world is becoming such a difficult place. Well, it's always been a difficult place, but it seems that the more advanced we get, the more we overcomplicate our lives. Now, I'm going to tell a story back when I was a kid, because I like to do that. When I was a kid, life was easier, albeit not as technologically advanced, and it certainly wasn't as healthy. There were three basic network TV channels and two obscure UHF channels that sometimes you could tune in clearly if you stood the right place and hold the antenna a certain way, and sometimes you couldn't get it at all. It was over the airwaves, and it was dependent on how good that signal was. In the gym classes in school, we played a variety of sports, and for some bizarre, odd reason, they had us do square dancing in gym classes during the winter months. And then once a year, we participated in the presidential fitness test. We would be tested to see how many basic exercises, such as what was then called the sit-up, which consisted of a person holding your feet, and you had to try to sit all the way up. If you could do this series of tests successfully, then you were deemed, quote, fit, unquote. TV dinners were all the rage, and especially in my house. My mother loved the simplicity of TV dinners, and we probably ate the most nutritious when we actually ate these frozen dinners. They came on aluminum trays, and they had different compartments, one for meat, which was the largest, and then a vegetable, usually like beans, green beans, and then some sort of glop that they would call the dessert, which is usually a bunch of apple and sugar all mixed together. We ate butter, we drank whole milk, we ate fatty meats at every meal, we ate several eggs every day, we drank coffee with 3 teaspoons of sugar in them, we drank Coca-Cola that was loaded with sugar. Oh yeah, huh. And we died. At young ages. More often, it was in your 50s. Yes, the memories of youth sound so good sometimes when you just think about it a little bit, but then when you break it down, life wasn't so great. We didn't know to test for cholesterol levels back then. We didn't know that cardiovascular exercise was important for heart health. We didn't have warnings on our packs of unfiltered cigarettes, so we smoked endlessly at home, at work, in restaurants, even in confined airspace, such as on an airplane. You were trapped. And we died at young ages. I never have smoked cigarettes. Probably tried one or two in my lifetime. But when I was a little kid, my mother used to send me down to the local store and buy 3 packs of Lucky Strikes, which I think is the most cancer-causing cigarette that's out there because it's very strong and there's no filter to it. And my mother would smoke 2 or 3 packs a day. And my mother died of breast cancer, advanced. In the 1980s, a fitness craze developed, cheered on by Olivia Newton-John singing about, "Let's get physical." And so we did, at the Village People's YMCA. We filled high-impact dancing aerobic classes. We started doing Nautilus machine resistance exercises in circuits. We wore trendy, pastel-colored workout clothes, and we wore them even as our street clothes. And within this culture, a more healthy lifestyle began to emerge. But because it was so prevalent in society, so in your face, it was everywhere, that many women began to feel that they couldn't keep up. Everyone around them was talking fitness and diet for the first time, and younger girls first began to feel the pressure of trying to look like the models that they see on TV and in magazines. Those magazines now began to run articles on fitness, especially women's exercise and diet. And for the first time, we began to see magazine covers of movie and TV stars that had, unfortunately, unknowingly to the young girls that read them, those photos had been altered to look better than the actual photo that was originally taken. See, it was an early form of photoshopping. Now, of course, they completely change photos as they go onto the covers of magazines. But back then, couldn't do as much, but still they were able, through lighting and a little bit of manipulation of the photo, they were able to make these people look beautiful, but unrealistically beautiful. The societal and peer pressure began to affect the eating habits of these young women, who might have been curvy, which previously had been considered to be a beautiful body shape. Marilyn Monroe, in today's world, would never be able to be a model because she was too curvy. She had too much body fat on her. And that curvy body type now didn't fit into the perfection that people were striving for. And so in the 1980s, we began to hear about an odd eating disorder. This was not the overeating and overweight problems that have already been diagnosed and were becoming common enough and were talked about enough that a peer-run group called Weight Watchers began to pop up in a town near you. No, this was the opposite problem. This was young women who were choosing to not eat in an effort, a really desperate effort, to become the unrealistic weight of the models appearing on those magazine covers. To become like the doctored, altered photos of unrealistic weight of models on magazine covers. They would choose to either not eat, or for those who gave in to the natural urge to eat and actually stay alive, they would consume large amounts of food in a frenzy and then throw it all up once they felt full. In fact, that feeling of being full was deemed the worst way that they could feel. So all this introduced us to anorexia and bulimia. And as we know, these eating orders are now fully accepted as real illnesses, and insurance covers the treatment. And probably most importantly, is that the shame of coming forward and speaking to people about the illness is diminishing. The shame of it is diminishing. And because that acceptance is growing, treatment is growing, which certainly has been life-saving for many thousands of people of both sexes and of all ages. But now, here we are in the 21st century, and along with that comes 21st century disorders. Possibly, maybe even, I'd say probably, because of the nature of so much information available on the internet. Because the internet giveth, and the internet taketh away of good information. So now comes the unusual and controversial topic of being fixated in a detrimental way on eating healthy. Here we are, the majority of the industrialized world, trying to fight our inner demons and trying to get ourselves to move at least in the direction of healthier eating. And now to hear that there's an extreme polarization that produces people who have a problem in that they eat too healthy? How is this even possible? The disease is titled orthorexia. That is defined as an unhealthy obsession with healthy food. We first heard this term in 1997 from a Dr. Stephen Bratman, who states that the more extreme or restrictive the diet, the more likely it could lead to orthorexia. The term was further brought into the mainstream just a couple of years ago by Jordan Younger, a 25-year-old lifestyle blogger. Younger was a devout raw vegan who started doing cleanses as part of her regular diet. But the cycle of cleansing, then becoming extremely hungry, then overeating solid food, then having guilt feelings, and then another cleanse to take care of it all, that became an unhealthy cycle. She eventually realized that she didn't have any of the classic eating disorders, but rather a fixation on the virtue of food selection. Nutrition therapist Dr. Karen Kratina, a specialist in eating disorders, believes that orthorexia is rising in popularity because of our fixation on health. She states there is nothing wrong with eating local or being a vegetarian or vegan. And she believes that many of those dietary approaches are inherently valuable. The problem, she says, is that we have moralized eating, weight, food, and exercise. We have moralized it. OCD diagnosis is not an uncommon misdiagnosis, as the symptoms are often hard to distinguish between orthorexia and OCD. Now, you may think, because it crossed my mind, I'd have to say, you may think that, gee, if a person has to have an eating disorder, this certainly seems like the best one to have, right? You're striving for health. You're moving in that direction. But one of the main problems with eating disorders is that they interrupt life and have such a negative impact on the way you can live your life, being caught in anxiety attacks and hours used up in overplanning meals and ways to undo slip-ups, that that disorder becomes like a prison. Eventually, the food choices become so restricted that health begins to suffer. The obsession with healthy eating can crowd out all other activities and interests. It can impair relationships, and it can become physically dangerous. NationalEatingDisorders.org states that orthorexia appears to be motivated by health, but there are underlying motivations, which can include safety from poor health, compulsion for complete control, which is where the OCD tendencies come into play, escape from fears, wanting to be thin, improving self-esteem, searching for spirituality through food, and using food to create an identity. If you are a healthy eater and you make it known to your friends and families and coworkers, perhaps if they say, "Oh, look, there's Joey, the health nut," that can become a kind of identity. And some are going to wear that as a badge of honor. NationalEatingDisorders.com further states the diet of orthorexics can actually be unhealthy, with nutritional deficits specific to the diet that they've imposed on themselves. These nutritional issues may not always be apparent. Orthorexics may be socially isolated, often because they plan their life, their complete lives, around food. They lose their ability to eat intuitively. They don't know when they're hungry. They don't know how much food that they actually need. And they may lack the ability to feel when they are full. But listeners, let's be clear about something. Following a healthy diet does not mean you're orthorexic, and nothing is wrong with eating healthy. Unless, states the National Eating Disorders Association, unless it's taking up an inordinate amount of time and attention in your life, that deviating from that diet is met with guilt and self-loathing, or it's used to avoid life issues and leaves you separate and alone. Madeline Furstrom, diet and nutrition editor for the Today Show, says what's missing in their diets is moderation. It focuses on the quality of the food. It's not the calories. It's not about weight loss. It's about how they feel as a virtuous person, as a perfect person. The thought goes to, I'm a better person if I restrict my food. Furstrom states that an orthorexic may spend 3 to 4 hours a day obsessively reading food labels, worrying about everything that's in food, eliminating even healthy foods like produce if they're worried about pesticides. They may avoid artificial coloring or flavoring or added salt and sugar. This comes from the Mayo Clinic. They may require food to be washed several times and cooked to kill the bacteria that they imagine. And some won't even go to restaurants because they avoid meals that they haven't prepared for themselves. So while so many of us strive to just get our diets better, not perfect, just better, here we have an illustration of an all-or-nothing kind of approach, one that I'm personally very, very, very familiar with. I myself have always had a problem with finding balance in my life. I do things to extreme. I eat perfectly healthy, or I eat crap. Somewhere in the dark cobwebs of my mind, I've developed an intense ability to stay structured in my life. And when that perfect structure is interrupted, it comes toppling down faster than a tower of Jenga blocks. For me, working on balance has become a lifelong struggle. Perhaps you may have some shadows of this also. I overly strive for perfection, and some semblance of a kind of perfection gets close to me for short periods of time, but since that kind of lifestyle is all but impossible to maintain, once I make a misstep and I've eaten something bad, I have to hold on for dear life that I do not spiral out of control. I'm working on dealing with these issues, but for someone like me, it's kind of like an obese person looking at an anorexic person. There's a small wish somewhere deep inside that you could be more like them. For overeaters, it is an odd desire to be able to have such control that an anorexic person possesses, although, of course, they tell themselves that they would never let it get to that extreme, the extreme that the anorexics go to. I feel that in some ways about orthorexia. I don't want to take it to such extremes that it disrupts my life, but I certainly envy some of the attributes that orthorexics have in their ability to eat healthy. So look, I think we can see that anything in life can be taken to such an extreme that it makes life difficult, sometimes even unbearable. But it should not stop us in pursuing healthy lifestyles. Instead, we look and realize that any extreme is not good. We all strive for balance, sometimes without even realizing it. If you are the type of person that multitasks, you are a person that is striving for balance. So let's all work on that balance in life. Not only to stay as healthy as possible, but also so that we can prioritize the things in life that are important to us that we want to make sure we don't miss out on. Balance. A lifelong quest that ultimately may be the answer to so many of our problems. Okay, so let's look back on our 10-week diet. First of all, are you excited about having an additional week? Because I sure am. I'm not where I want to be, and I'm going to use these next 10 days to drop another pound or so. But you know what? I realize now that at age 57, if I truly want to have a six-pack again, and I do, I want that again so badly, I'm going to have to drop my body fat down below 15%. And that's hard. I'm at 20% right now, and my weight is 173. It seems a weird concept to me that I might have to go down into the low 150s to see that amount of definition in my abs. I'm not going to give up on it. I'm just going to buckle down more and manage to keep going. I'll do some photos by the time my YouTube channel launches, which now is set for January 1st. Meanwhile, once this 10-week diet, which is now actually officially an 11-week diet, finishes on Tuesday, November 24th, I'll have another well, let's say interesting challenge for you to do before we start 2016. And again, if you've not had the chance to join the 10 to 11 week diet, no matter when you may find this podcast, go back to podcast number 71 and follow along, and you can lose weight at any point in the year. So my friends, intensify your efforts as we come down the straightaway in these next 10 days. If you've been kind of so-so on your diet structure, these next 10 days could make a big difference to your final numbers. Use them wisely. And remember that 2 days after the conclusion of the diet is Turkey Day, and an awesome chance to eat high-quality protein and lots and lots and lots of vegetables and fruits. I have faith in you. You can do this. And if you have some successes during this diet period, however small you might envision those successes to be, remember that you're doing these dietary changes at one of the most difficult times of the year. Be proud of that. And folks, realize that if you can do this much during a difficult period of the year for food reduction, just imagine, really imagine how incredible you will be able to do once the holidays have passed on by. I'm proud of every single one of you. Stay strong, because you get a break in the diet very, very soon. My best to all of you. Heads up to listen to my disclaimer that immediately follows. It's important. Meanwhile, I'll talk to you this coming week. This is Joey Hernandez of the Life After 30 podcast that I just know you want to subscribe to. So hit that subscribe button and be notified immediately when new content is published. Thanks for listening, my friends. Have an awesome week. Hey folks, Joey Hernandez here of the Human Construction Site podcast, and this is a pre-recorded disclaimer that I'm going to insert into each episode of the podcast. So please give me just a moment of your listening time and listen to this disclaimer. First of all, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the Human Construction Site podcast. I hope that the information that you receive from the podcast is unique and useful to you in your quest to live a healthier and more vibrant life. I have been a personal trainer for over 30 years. This podcast and the Human Construction Site blog that it is tied to are based on my opinions and my experience working with clients all these years. I am not a doctor. I ask that any and all information that you receive from me, as well as anywhere else on the internet or on TV or on websites, books, wherever the source, that you discuss that and review it with your personal physician before implementing any kind of lifestyle changes. Your doctor knows you best. He or she knows your personal medical history, knows your medications, your family's history, and together you with your physician should have a dialogue to ensure that any changes are right for you. So please, 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 please consult your doctor. Thank you.